Now, if you'll open your Bibles to the 16th chapter of Numbers, before I get into the heart of the message and the application of the text, I'd like to make two or three observations. First of all, a man named Korah and his followers, about 250 men, had rejected the leadership of Moses. They had rejected the authority and leadership of Aaron. In Numbers 16, verse 2, it says, "And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" Now Moses defended his position. He said in verse 4, "And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spake unto Korah and to all his companies, and said, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him." God had selected a high priest. God had selected a prophet. And the high priest and the prophet represented God to the people and represented the people to God. And this high priest, Aaron, was a type of Christ. Christ is our high priest. Christ is the only one through whom we can come to the Father. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Aaron was a type of Christ. Aaron was a picture of Christ. And all of the priests of the Old Testament were types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people, when they rejected Aaron, were rejecting not only Aaron, but they were rejecting the very idea of a priest. And consequently, were rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. They were rejecting the way of blood. They were rejecting the way of sacrifice. They were rejecting the way of representation. They were rejecting substitution. That's what they were doing. That's the heart of this matter. They were saying, "We'll come ourselves before God. We don't need a high priest. We don't need a mediator. We don't need an advocate. We don't need anyone to go to God for us. We'll come ourselves." That's what they were saying. And verse 28, if you'll turn over there with me, "And Moses said, In verse 28, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works. For I have not done them of mine own mind and my own hand. This is not my idea." No man takes this position upon himself. No man says, "Now I'll be the prophet." God says who will be the prophet. No man says, "Now I'll be the priest." God says who will be the priest. Not even Christ took this honor upon himself. But the Father sent him. The Father anointed him. The Father appointed him. The Father selected him to be the priest. And the Father selected Aaron. And the Father selected Moses. And Moses said, "We haven't done this of our own mind. And we're going to prove it to you. If these men," talking about Korah and these 250 men of renown, famous men, but rebellious men, "if these men die an ordinary death, if these men die an ordinary death, then God did not send me and did not send Aaron. But if the Lord make a new and unusual thing and an earthquake come and open, divide the earth, and these men fall in and the earth swallow them up, then God is speaking and saying that Moses is my representative." Well, that's exactly what happened. The earth opened up, and Korah and his family and all of the other men and their families and all pertaining to them went down alive into the pit. Now, you'd think, you'd think that this experience would have a lasting effect upon the people. They stood there and saw this. They saw this. They heard Moses' message in preceding years. Moses said to the people, now Aaron is the priest, and Aaron will come to the tabernacle, and Aaron will offer the sacrifice, and Aaron will burn the incense, and Aaron and the priest will represent the people. And these men came and said, now we're all holy before the Lord. We reject the ministry of Aaron. We reject the priesthood of Aaron. We'll all burn incense. We'll all offer sacrifices. We'll all come before the Lord. And God spoke in anger and destroyed every one of them and told the high priest, said, melt their censers down and mold it into a covering for the altar. And when the people see that melted, molded covering for the altar, they'll remember the rebellion of these men, the rejection of these men, and they'll fear. But that's not the case. The very next day, in verse 41, the very next day, this same crowd, they're the ones that saw the plagues in Egypt. They're the ones that saw the parting of the sea. They're the ones that saw the manna fall from heaven. They're the ones that saw the water from the smitten rock. They're the ones that saw the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They're the ones that saw the earth open up and swallow up Korah and all his following. The very next day, these people who had seen the fear of God and the wrath of God and the judgment of God, the very next day, these same people were murmuring again against Moses and against Aaron. It says the people, verse 41, the congregation murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and they said, you kill these men, Korah and these 250 men of renown, you kill them. And it came to pass, verse 42, that when this congregation had gathered in anger and wrath, a mob, and they were men who were looking for Moses' blood, I'm sure, and they gathered against Moses and against Aaron. And Moses and Aaron looked toward the tabernacle that stood in the midst of the camp. The tents were all around the tabernacle. Here the tabernacle of God was in the midst of the camp. They looked toward the tabernacle, and there was the cloud that led Israel. There was the cloud that represented the presence of God. There was the cloud, and the glory of God appeared over the tabernacle. And God spake in verse 45, and he said, Moses, separate yourself from the congregation. I'm going to destroy every one of them. The people had rebelled again, and God was angry. And God was going to send a plague among the people, and he did. He sent a great plague, and right there, that very day, 14,700, half the population of the city of Ashland, died. God said, get away from them, separate yourself from these rebels, I'm going to destroy them, I'm going to consume them in a moment. But Moses, now watch this, verse 46, Moses cried to Aaron, the high priest, and he said, Aaron, take a censer. Get fire from the altar and put it in the censer and put on incense and run quickly and make an atonement for the people. For the wrath of God is come. The plague is begun. And Aaron, 100 years old, that's how old he was. You get some idea of how this man appeared. This man, Aaron, God's high priest, the representative of Christ. Moses said, Aaron, run quick and get a censer and run, get some fire and take some incense and run out there. The fire of God, the plague of God, the wrath of God is fallen upon the people. Run, Aaron, and make an atonement for them. And Aaron, 100 years old, ran quickly with the incense. He had the incense in his hand and he had the censer in the other hand. with the fire in it. He'd gone up to the tabernacle, and he'd got the proper fire and the proper incense and the proper censer, and he came running down between the Lord and the people who were falling like flies. They were falling like a fire sweeping through a field of dead grass. And Aaron went running out there, and he took that censer of fire, and he put the incense on it, and he began to wave that atonement, that incense, before God, between God and the people. And the Scripture says he stopped the plague. He stopped the plague. Now, my friends, there is something like 50 verses of Scripture that have to do with one incident in 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Now, if this is only an account of a plague, why did God spend so much space, use so much space in His Word just to tell us about a plague? There were many plagues. There were hundreds and thousands of plagues. And I say that there's no use to preserve this story. It's of no value whatsoever if it's just the story of another plague. It's of no value at all, if that's all it is. And secondly, if this is only an historical account of a large number of people perishing under the judgment of God, it is of no real value in that case either. Because look at Sodom. More than 14,000 died there. Look at Gomorrah. Look at the Tower of Babel. Look at the flood. Look at all of the time. Look at Jerusalem when the blood was up to the horse's bridle. It's of no value at all. If it's just the story of a lot of people dying, it's of no value at all. There's no reason to use all this space in God's Word. If it's just a miracle, if it's no more than a miracle, then I don't see any value in it. And if it's no more than just God Almighty exerting His power and authority, there's no value there either, because the creation of a world is a greater wonder than this. But this story is more. It's more than just the story of a plague. It's more than just the story of a lot of people perishing. It's more than just God dealing with Israel. It is the way God dealt with them. Aaron is a picture of Christ. Aaron the high priest is a picture of Christ, and the rebelling people a picture of you and me. Now let me show you that. I want to present Aaron, first of all, in a fivefold character and see if you can see what God is teaching us in this Scripture. First of all, look at Aaron the lover. Here the wrath of God had fallen upon the people. God's judgment. And the people were dying. 14,700 of them had died. And this old man Aaron, the people didn't love him. This is the second time in 2 days that they've tried to fire him. This is the second time in 2 days that they had organized a plot against him. This is the second time in 2 days that the people had wanted to strip him of his power and strip him of his office, and even take his life. They didn't love him. You'd think that when Moses hollered, "Aaron, Aaron," Aaron's 100 years old. Aaron's seen a lot of this. And the people said, "We don't want Aaron. We reject Aaron. We reject the priesthood. We're going to go before our God ourselves." It looks like Aaron would have said, "All right, let them try it. They've tried it before and they've died. Let them try it again." But he didn't. When Moses said, "Aaron, run get a censer. Run get some incense. And run down among the people." Aaron loved them. Aaron the lover. Aaron ran down among them. 100 years old, he went running up to the tabernacle. And he got the censer and he got the fire and he got the incense. And he went running down, right down into the midst of the plague. Right into the midst of God's wrath, right into the midst of the people. He ran right down there among them because he loved them. because he loved them. The people had cried, "We don't want Aaron." Is not this the cry in Eden's garden? When mankind rejected God's authority and rejected God's sovereignty and rejected God's rule, is not this the cry in Eden's garden? Is not this the plan of Babel's tower, the Tower of Babel, when the people said, "Why, we don't need God, we'll build a tower up to heaven and we'll inhabit heaven ourselves." Is not this the cry at Calvary's cross? When the people said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us, crucify him." Is not this even the attitude of every heart? And yet Jesus Christ our Lord, like Aaron, loved us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Aaron, they don't love you. I know that. Aaron, they don't want you. I know that. Aaron, they want to murder you. I know that. But Aaron loved them, and he ran right down the middle of them. And the Lord Jesus Christ came right down here into the middle of this earth. The people did not love him. They despised him. They rejected him. They cried, "We will not have this man reign over us." But Christ Jesus came down here and identified himself with us. Somebody said, "Well, Aaron, if you run down there in the middle of the people, the plague will fall on you." When you become identified with them, God told you to separate yourself from them. But here you are going down among them. Turn to Isaiah 53. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. "Therefore," talking about Christ, "will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors." Christ Jesus our Lord took our flesh upon himself. He was numbered with us. He became one with us. He identified himself with us. Turn to Hebrews 2. In Hebrews 2, verse 11 through 14, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name among my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Aaron loved the people. And he revealed that love by identifying himself with them. He took that censer and the fire and the incense, and without any regard for his personal safety, he ran down among the people. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that he came down here among us and was numbered with us and took part of flesh and blood with us, identified himself with us as our representative, and stood among us who hated him, despised him, and rejected him. Now, secondly, talking about Aaron. Now, look at Aaron, not only the lover, but Aaron the high priest. Now, my friends, the wrath of God against sin was fallen upon Israel. These people had rebelled, and God's wrath had fallen upon them. They were guilty. The law condemned them, and the judgment of God was falling upon them. There was no way for that judgment and that wrath and that offended law to be reconciled without a suitable atonement. So Aaron didn't run down there empty-handed. Aaron didn't run down there and just plead with God. He would have been destroyed, and so would they. Aaron didn't run down there in the hopes that he could use his influence to stop the plague. But Aaron ran down there with a censer and the incense. He carried the incense and he carried the censer. And there before God, he took that incense and laid it on that fire. And then when he waved that incense before the Lord, that incense which is a picture of Christ's death, that incense which is a picture of Christ's blood, that incense which is a picture of Christ's intercession, when he waved that incense, that atonement before the presence of the Heavenly Father, it stopped the plague. It was not Aaron who stopped it. It was the atonement that stopped it. It was not Aaron that stopped it. It was the blood of Christ that stopped it. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came down here to the earth, when God's wrath was upon us, and when God's judgment was upon us, and when condemnation was upon us, Christ came, but he didn't come empty-handed. And he didn't stand before the Father empty-handed. He came down here in the flesh. And as our high priest, he offered an atonement to the Father, which was his own blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. There are two necessary things to satisfying justice and appeasing justice and honoring the law. Two necessary things. What are they? The right high priest and the right sacrifice. And Aaron was the right priest. Aaron was the right one. And he had in his hand the right atonement. He had fire from off the altar. And he had an incense that God Almighty himself had chosen. And that stopped the plague. And when Jesus Christ came, he is the high priest, the one God chosen, mine anointed. And he has his own blood, which is sufficient to put away all condemnation. Now look at verse 48. We look at Aaron, not only the lover, and Aaron the high priest, but let's look at Aaron the mediator. And Aaron stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. This awful plague was destroying the people as fire would cut down a field of dried grass. And Aaron stepped between the people and the wrath of God and waved this incense as much as to say, death, in order to get to the people, you've got to march over me and my atonement. Judgment, in order to get to the people, you've got to march over God's high priest. Judgment and death, in order to destroy the people, you must empty my censer. Get the picture now. Here are the people behind him. Here's Almighty God, God's holy throne, God's holy law, God's holy justice, God's holy character, God's justifiable wrath against the sins of Israel. But Aaron steps out between the people and God, and he holds that censer with the fire and the incense in front of all those things I've named And this is what he says. Law of God, I know you're holy. But law of God, you're not holier than my sacrifice. Justice of God, you're righteous, but you're not more righteous than my sacrifice. In order to get to the people condemnation, you've got to destroy God's high priest. You've got to destroy God's holiness. You've got to destroy God's substitute. You've got to destroy God's atonement. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he stands for a sinner, he stands between the law that's ready to smite. He stands between justice that's ready to claim our souls and bodies. He stands between eternal death that's ready to reach out and damn us. But Christ stands forth as the mediator. And he says, law, you have no claim on these people. Because I've met you, law, and I've satisfied you, and I've honored you, and I've kept you to every jot and tittle. Justice, you can lay nothing to their charge, because I've satisfied you fully. Death, you can't touch them, for death, you have slain me, and I've satisfied you completely. And you can come no further. Now, my friends, what will you trust? Here you are in judgment, condemnation, guilt. There God's holiness and law and justice is descending in wrath. What will you put between you and that awful law and that awful justice and that awful wrath? Will you put your church membership? Perhaps you'll put your baptism. Perhaps you will offer, here, law, here are my works. Here, justice, here's my merit. Here's my good deed. Will not these things stay the wrath of God? Then we look at Aaron the Savior, verse 48. The plague was stayed. Aaron and his atonement stopped the plague. Because of Aaron, the people lived. Because of Aaron and his atonement, death stopped. Because of Aaron and his atonement, the Father was reconciled. Christ is the only Savior. Because of Christ, and only because of Christ, we live. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Aaron was the unaided Savior. Aaron stood alone. Turn to Isaiah 63. I'm going to preach on this tonight. I turned over here to this scripture to make a reference in the message this morning. And I thought, my, this is such a beautiful scripture. And I'm going to bring a message from this verse, Isaiah 63, verse 3, tonight. Aaron stood out there alone, all alone. No one was with him. And Jesus Christ the Lord says in Isaiah 63, verse 3, I have trodden the winepress. And the winepress is a symbol of God's wrath all alone. And of the people, there was none with them. Christ suffered alone. He prayed alone. He went to the judgment alone. He hung on the cross alone. He bore our sins alone. He died alone. He went to the grave alone. He ascended to the presence of the Heavenly Father alone. He is the unaided Savior. The royal bath in which black souls are washed white was drawn from the veins of Jesus Christ alone. And he was the sufficient Savior. The people were dying. The plague was sweeping through the camp. God was angry. Aaron ran down between God and the people, and he waved that censer. And death came to Aaron's feet. Judgment came to Aaron's feet. Condemnation came to Aaron's feet. And it stopped right there. Now, it had conquered the mighty. Korah was mighty. And the men with him, the men of renown, and the men of fame, and the men of valor, had conquered all of them. It had conquered the religious. There were a lot of religious leaders with those people, and death had swept down upon them and devoured them in their religion and in their piety and in their morality. It had conquered the mighty. It had conquered the religious. It had conquered the moralists. It had conquered all of the socialists. But when it came to the atonement, it stopped. When it came to the atonement, death had conquered all these others. Death had conquered the moralists. Death had conquered the religious. Death had conquered the strong. Death had conquered the mighty. But when the death, which is because of sin and guilt, when the law, when God's justice came to Aaron, who was God's priest, when it came to Aaron, who had God's atonement, when it came to Aaron, who had God's proper sacrifice, it stopped. It stopped dead still. And nobody else died. And nobody else died. Numbers 16, verse 48, and he stood between the dead and the living. The last thing I see Aaron the divider. Aaron the divider. There are two sorts of people, the dead and the living. There are two sorts of people, the saved and the lost. There are two sorts of people, the believer and the unbeliever. There are two sorts of people, the objects of God's grace and the objects of God's wrath. There are two sorts of people, those who stand and those who fall. And you know who's the difference, who's the great divider, who's standing between the two? God's high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the difference. He will be the great divider at the judgment. The redeemed of all ages will say unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, to him be the glory both now and forever. Unto him who delivered us, who redeemed us, who hath made us kings and priests to God, unto him be the glory. And those who fall, and those who perish, and those who sink in everlasting condemnation will cry to the rocks and mountains, fall on us and deliver us from the face of him. He is the issue. He is the divider. It's Jesus Christ. All who are redeemed, say unto him be glory. All who are lost, say fall on us and deliver us from the face of him. We don't want to see him. We don't want to face him. We don't want to do business with him. Deliver us from him. He is the issue. A group of people came to the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and they said, which is the greatest commandment? And he said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbors thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. And then they said to him, they said, well, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? He said, you've got a coin? One of them said, yes. He said, whose picture's on the coin? They said, Caesar's. He said, well, you render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar and to God the things that belong to God. Another one said to him, well, Lord, Master, suppose that a woman is married and her husband dies. And she marries again. And that husband dies. She marries again. And that husband dies. And she's had 5, 6, or 7 husbands. Who's going to be her husband in the resurrection? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. In the resurrection, they are as the angels. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. And he put to silence the lawyers and the scribes and the Sadducees. And they turned to walk off. And the Master said, I have a question for you. Now, we've been talking about all these other matters, the matters of which is the most important law, and whether or not it's lawful for a Christian to pay taxes or a person in the kingdom of God to submit to the kingdoms of men. And you've talked about the resurrection and the things that are going to be hereafter. Here is the question that I have for you. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And my friends, that was the issue then, and that's the issue today. Now you can argue and divide and split over all of these other sciences, so-called, and issues of men, and traditions of men, and doctrines of men, and denominations, and catechisms, and creeds, and dogmas, and all of these other things. But it's going to boil down, when God's wrath is descending upon this world in eternal judgment, the issue is going to be Jesus Christ. Just like the issue here in Numbers 16 with one man, Abram. Here was God and His wrath. Here were the people, and they were perishing. Judgment had fallen upon. There was the rich and the poor. There was the old and the young. There was the wise and the unwise. There was the moralist and the immoral. There was the pious and the and those that weren't pious. There were all these people, and there was one issue, judgment. Wrath had fallen, and they were perishing. And here an old man by the name of Aaron came running out between God and these people. When God was dealing with them in wrath, and dealing with them in judgment, and dealing with them in condemnation. And he stood out there in front of them, and before the presence of the Lord, he waved a censer full of burning incense. And just like that, the plague stopped. It wasn't their might that stopped it. It was that atonement. It wasn't their prayers that stopped it. It was the atonement. It wasn't their promises to do better. Oh, we'll do better next time. I know what you'll do next time. Same thing you're doing this time. It wasn't that. It was the atonement. The atonement. And that represents the Lord Jesus Christ, who offered as sufficient atonement for the sins of all who believe on Him. And I want to find my place hiding behind the atonement of Christ. I want to get behind Aaron. I want to get behind Christ. I want to get behind the blood. I want to get behind the cross. And I want that cross in between me and the Father. I want that cross between me and the law. I want that cross between me and judgment. I want that cross between me and justice. Because I know Him who died on that cross will say, law of God, you can't touch Him. You've already touched me. Justice, you can't touch Him. You've already touched me. That's the only hope we have. That's what that's saying. That's what that's saying. That's the reason that's there. It's not just another plague. It's not just another miracle. It's not just an historical account of something that happened in the life of Israel. And that's the reason I say in these Old Testament studies and these Old Testament applications, Christ is all the way through that book. Christ and His atonement and His blood. To Him give all the prophets witness. And God's saying something to you and me there. God's saying, you've offended me. You've stirred up my wrath. You've broken my law, and I'm coming in judgment. You better get behind Christ and let Him be your refuge. Our Father in heaven, anoint this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and give understanding to these hearts of ours. Let us rest in Christ and depend upon Christ and hide behind Christ and look to Christ alone. He's sufficient to put away all the wrath and the condemnation. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Christ has died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. Speak through thy word by the power of thy Spirit, and strengthen the faith of thy people. But chiefly and most of all, let that faith be in one object, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.